Today she is Masechta Menachos Daf Lamed. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis. Seven lines from the bottom begins the Gemara Amar Rav Yosef Hani Tartimili. These two halachas Amar Rav Rav taught us Besvarim. These two halachas that Rav taught us about Hilchas Sifrei Torah, how to write the letters, etc. V'tanya Tiyufta. But there are questions on these halachas. Chada, the first halacha that we learned, says the Gemara, Chada Marav, is what Rav taught us. Sefer Torah sheyesh bo shtei toyos b'chol daf v'daf, a Sefer Torah that has two mistakes on every page, yisukin, can be fixed. However, shalosh, if there are three mistakes on every page, then the halacha is Yigonis. It should be put away. It should not be attempted to be fixed. But Tanya Toyufte, but there's a brisa, says the Gemara, that says contrary to that opinion, because this brisa says Sholish, if there are three mistakes on every page, Yisukin. If there are arba, however, if there are four mistakes, then Yigonis, it should not be corrected. It's not correctable, but rather it should be put away. Tana, says the Gemara, another braisa. Im yesh boi daf achas shleima, if in your Sefer Torah you have one page that is fine, but tzal sakulay. So even if there are numerous mistakes throughout the Sefer Torah, now given that it has one page that's fine, then Yisukin, then we should fix the rest of the Sefer Torah. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Masa b'Shmei d'Ravahu, when is this halacha that if you have one page in the Sefer Torah which is fine, it saves the entire Sefer Torah? That's when Ruba the Sifra Shapir, when most of the Sefer Torah is written properly. Most of the pages that have very minimal mistakes. But if at every page, if most of the pages have numerous mistakes, even though he says that there's one page that has no mistakes, it won't save the Sefer Torah. Amar Abayi Rabbi Yosef, Ispa b'chaf daf, if in the mistake, in the page that we're relying on, Sholosh Tosha, has three mistakes, is that a page that could save the rest of Sefer Torah? Doesn't mean when we say that there's a page that's fine, it saves the rest of the Sefer Torah, it's only in a case where that page has no mistakes, or if it has three mistakes or less, since we're learning that three mistakes is fixable, it's considered like a page without any mistakes. Amalei, so he, Rabbi Yosef said to Abaya, Hoy of Isyav l'sikune, since this Sefer Torah is a sefer that could be fixed because it doesn't have the amount of mistakes that prevent us from fixing it. The second, that page can be fixed and it saves the rest of Sefer Torah. However, for Hani Mili, when it was this said, Chaseris, that when we have too many mistakes, is the halacha that the Sefer Torah cannot be corrected? That's when it's missing letters. There are, let's say, four mistakes of missing letters. Avo, if Yaseris, if the mistake is that they have extra letters, less lumbar, then that's not considered such a serious mistake. Ask the Gemara, Chaseris Maitama, what's the reason if it's missing letters, is it considered a significant mistake? And Loi, we can no longer repeat that Sefer Torah. Explains the Gemara, Amar Rav Gadim Shem Demechzi Kimenur. If you have a Sefer Torah that you're going to have to somehow insert the missing letters, that makes the Sefer Torah look like it's spotted. It's not written clearly, nicely on one line. And that's why that Sefer Torah, the halachas, cannot be corrected. Says the Gemara, Agra Chamur d'Rav Abba. Agra was the father-in-law of Rav Abba. Havalei Yaseiris B'Sifrei. He had more than four letters extra in words on a page in the Sefer Torah. Also, Kamei de Rav Abba, in this question, he came to the son-in-law of Abba. Can this Sefer Torah be corrected? Amalei said Rabbi Abba to his father-in-law, Lo Yamaran, this is what we said when there's so many mistakes that it's a problem. It's Ela B'chaseris, as we just said, when it's missing letters. Avol Yaseris, if it has extra letters, less lumbar, then it's not considered such a significant mistake and can be corrected. Idach, so we began our shiur today, says the Gemara, by pointing out the Rav taught us two halachas. So first the Gemara quoted the first halacha. Now the Gemara teaches us the other halacha the Rav taught us. Dama Rav HaKosh Sefer Torah. If somebody's writing a Sefer Torah, Baal Ligmar, and he's coming to the end of the Sefer Torah, Gaimar Afila Ba'em Sadaf. He could end even in middle, he could end in middle of a line. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, HaKosh Sefer Torah, if somebody's writing a Sefer Torah, Baal Ligmar, and he's coming to end writing the Sefer Torah, Lo Yegba Ba'em Sadaf, Kederach Shigaimar B'chumashim, he shouldn't finish in the middle of a line like he does when he writes, they used to write the Chamisha Chumshe Torah separately. He shouldn't write it at the, he shouldn't end it in the middle of the line. El Mekatzav HaHoylech, he should make the lines shorter. El Mekatzav HaHoylech Ad L'Sof HaDaf. He should write it at the end of the page, the words Leinu Kol Yisrael. So we see that we have to go till the end. Answers the Gemara, Ki Kama Rav. So here we see we have to end at the end of a line, at the end of a page. Says the Gemara, Ki Kama Rav Gumshin. As we said, when they wrote each chumash separate. Says the Gemara, Vasefer Torah Kama. Rav explicitly said that he was talking about a Sefer Torah. Answers the Gemara, he was talking about chumashim Sefer Torah. When he's writing each chumash and they wrote the chumashim handwritten. And that's when he could end at the middle of a line. But if he could end, but the end of Sefer Dvarim, he could end the middle of a line, but at the bottom of the page. Ask the Gemara, any of Rishon Rav Gilom Marav, La'ene Kol Yisrael. The last words of the Torah are La'ene Kol Yisrael, and they could be Bem Tzadaf. You don't have to finish the page. And so the Gemara, what he meant to say was, Hahi be'em tzashita. It's the middle of a line. But even though it's the middle of the line, it has to be at the end of the page. Itmar, says the Gemara, there's actually a machloikis in this regarding this question. Rabbanan Amri, ap'em tzashita. You can write the last words of the Torah, Kedosh Leinu Kol Yisrael, ap'em tzashita, middle of the line. Vashi ap'em tzashita dafka. You should write it at the end of a, you can write it in the end of a line. You don't have to write it at the end of the line. You can write it in the middle of the line, but not the middle of a page. Vilchasop, Bemtzashita Dafka. It should be in the middle of a line, but not in the middle of a page. It has to be at the end of a page. So I saw that the Bnei Sosker explains, the Pasuk says, there's a Messiah, Leinei Kol Yisrael. That's the last words as we're learning of the Torah Kedoshah. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yeshua, V'yoyme Elov, very similar warning, V'yoyme Elov L'enei Kol Yisrael, Chazak V'chazak. The so Bnei Soscha explains that the Gemara Masechta Temura, Daf Tez Zayin Amin Aleph teaches us, that Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua that he should ask any questions that he has. And Yeshua tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Klum hanachticha afilu she'achas." I was with you all the time, and everything that there is to learn from you, I learned. And that's indeed what the pasuk says. Yeshua ben Nar, Yeshua ben Nun Nar lo yomish b'toich ha'oil. That's what we said here. Moshe said to Yeshua, "Hin eleni kol Yisrael," that it ends that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Yeshua a most important lesson. And the lesson is that there's no such thing that you know everything. We're always in the middle of a line. Torah, we never finish. We're always in the line, we're in the middle of the line, but we're never at the end of the line. There's still so much more Torah left to learn. And therefore, the halacha is that our minig is that we don't end at the end of a line. The words la'ini kol Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Mishu bar Abba Amar Rav Gidla Marav, Shmane Shabbat Sukkim Torah. The last eight psukim of Sefer Torah, Yochid Kara Sefer Beis HaKnesses, a Yochid should read them in the Beis HaKnesses. There are many pshatim in this Gemara. The simplest pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that Kriyas HaTorah in those days, it was very different than Kriyas HaTorah in our days. In those days, that when somebody got an Aliyah, he read the Aliyah himself. But as the Rosh explains in Masechta Megillah, since they came to a time and place that not everybody was expert in reading for Sefer Torah, and therefore, and you'll have a situation where somebody who doesn't really know how to read from Sefer Torah will attempt to read from Sefer Torah. Therefore, they instituted that the Shlich Tzibur should be the one, the Baal Kairi is the one that reads the Sefer Torah when somebody gets Aliyah. Our Gemara is teaching us, we'll see soon why, that doesn't apply to the last eight psukim. That's one pshat. Another pshat is there's two pshatim that are actually reverse of each other. One pshat is that the last eight psukim should be a separate aliyah. Another pshat is, because they're different, as we're going to see, and separate. Another pshat is that the last eight psukim should not be read as an independent aliyah, but rather it should be read as a continuation of the previous psukim. The Rambam explains what the Gemara means to say, Yochid Karen Esoy, that of course normally when we have Kriyas HaTorah, we have to have a minyan in shul to be able to read from the Sefer Torah. These eight psukim could be read even if there is no minyan. And another pshat, which is a very famous pshat, a pshat from the Mordechai, and the Mordechai suggests what the Gemara means to say here is that Yochid Kairin Isai is that the person who should get this aliyah should be a Yochid, should be a renowned Talmud Chacham. And from that, that's where the minig is, that these last eight psukim are always part of the Kriyas HaTorah for Chosson Torah and Simchas Torah. And that's why the minig based on the Mordechai is that the person who is called up for the Chosson Torah, as we just learned from the Mordechai, should be Yochid Karen Isai. It should be specifically the big Talmud Chacham. Because, as we're just going to learn, one, I think that these psukim don't have the same significance as the rest of the Sefer Torah. That's why, to show that this is no less than anything, less than any else part of the Sefer Torah, so that's why we specifically call up a Talmud Chacham, to show that not in any way to denigrate the chashivas, the significance of these last eight psukim. Says the Gemara, the Kaman, who is this opinion that we just gave all these different pshatim following? Says the Gemara, the like Reb Shimon, it doesn't follow the opinion of Reb Shimon. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, at the end of the Chumash, then the Pasha Zoysa Bracha, V'yamasham Moshe Ever Hashem. And we have here a very difficulty. Efshe Moshe Chai, is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive? V'kosev, and yet it writes, V'yamasham Moshe, the Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer alive. Says the Gemara, El Adkan Kosev Moshe, until this place, until these last eight psukim, the whole Sefer Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, V'kan Ve'elech, these last psukim were written by Yeshu ben Nun, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Yehuda Bamalei. Some say it's the opinion of Nechemiah. Amalei Rav Shimon, to which Rav Shimon says to them, Efshe Sefer Torah Chasa Achas, is it possible to say that one letter of the Sefer Torah was not written by Moshe Rabbeinu? The Ksiv, does the Pasuk not say that Moshe Rabbeinu says, L'koyach HaSefer HaTorah Zeveh Samtem Oysoi B'tzad Aron Bris Hashem L'kecha? He says that the entire Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I wrote. And therefore says the Gemara, Elad Kan Kadosh Baruch Hu Omer, till here Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu the words, Amosha Omer v'kaisiv. Amosha heard what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him and wrote word for word as HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated him. Mikavel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, from here on in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu what to write. Amosha kaisiv bedema. The Pashut Pshat is the Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it with tears. He was betzar hearing about his death. So there are many halachas that the Pesukim say that when somebody's writing a Sefer Torah and he's writing it from one Sefer to another Sefer, he has to say the words word by word. That he has to say the word before he writes it. So most Pesukim, the Smag, the Sefer Truma say, there's a difference how somebody is writing the Sefer Torah. If he's writing the Sefer Torah from copying it from another Sefer Torah, he doesn't have to pronounce each word as he writes it. But if he's writing it from somebody dictating the words, then he does have to write it. However, the Mishnah Berurah adds, this halacha, that if you're writing it from another Sefer, you don't have to say the words, that's only if you know the words of the Sefer Torah. But if you don't know the words, then it doesn't make a difference how you're writing it, whether you're writing it from another Sefer Torah or you're writing because somebody dictating it to you, you should always say the words first. But then, many quote the Bach. The Bach says that how does the Sefer Torah attain the Kedusha Sefer Torah? The way a Sefer Torah attains the Kedusha Sefer Torah is it has to be, the words have to be pronounced by the person who's writing the Sefer Torah. And that pronunciation of the word, of the words, give the Kedusha the Sefer Torah. And therefore, according to the Bach, it makes no difference how the Sefer Torah is being written. Whether it's being written by the Sefer copying it from another Sefer Torah, or it's being written by somebody telling him the words, he should always say the words first. And what happened over here is Moshe Rabbeinu, as he wrote these last words, did not say the words over. And the way Rashi explains, because Moshe Rabbeinu was betzar, Moshe Rabbeinu was crying as he's hearing about his death, and he won't be here anymore to lead Klal Yisrael. So that's why he wasn't able to pronounce the word. The Ritva in Masechet Baba Basra says the definition of bedema was that he didn't write those words with ink, as the Sefer Torah is normally written. They were written bedema, they were written bedemos. But many Mefarshim suggest a very famous pshat, that the Sefer Torah, the Gros says this Pshat, the Chassam Sofer says this Pshat, that the Sefer Torah, as it was given originally, is a series of letters. And Moshe Rabbeinu, under the direction, of course, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, divided all of those words into separate, all those letters into separate words. Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to these last eight psukim of the Torah, at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, just write the letters. Bedema, the word dema means something that's mixed together. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu at that point did. He just wrote all the letters without dividing them into words. And afterwards, Yeshua divided them to words. So we have both. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote all these letters, so it is the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but even though it's the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the division of into letters, into words, was done by Yeshua. Tfer Shloimeh says that we think, Pshat in the Gemara is, that why was Moshe Rabbeinu crying? Because it was Yom HaShem Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu was passing away, and that caused him to cry. But he says the reason Moshe Rabbeinu was crying was because it says Ish Moshe Anu Mikol Adam, and Moshe Rabbeinu was so disturbed because he was so upset because he didn't want to write about himself that he was such a great modest individual. The Machz Avram explains that what happened here was that on this day, the leadership of Klal Yisrael passed from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua. And Moshe Rabbeinu lost the power that he is the leader of Klal Yisrael. And since he lost that special position of being the leader of Klal Yisrael, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu bedema. He wanted to continue leading Klal Yisrael. There's a question that many ask, that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter on Shabbos. And the question is, if he was nifter on Shabbos, then the question is, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu took 12 steps. And if he took 12 steps on that day, big steps to get to the mountain, you're not allowed to take big steps. So I saw that Reb Chaim Kanievsky explains, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was extremely tall. So since Moshe Rabbeinu was very tall, who was not allowed to take big steps? A person of average height. But given that Moshe Rabbeinu was so tall, 12 steps for Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't represent taking such big steps that we're not allowed to take on Shabbos. But then the question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter on Shabbos, how do he write the Sefer Torah on Shabbos? But if we follow the pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu, as he was at this day, as the Ritva said, wrote these letter bedema, that he wrote this letter on when he was with the Moss, and therefore, since he wrote the letters with the Moss, with crying, that's not called a real act of ksiva. And since it's not considered a real act of ksiva, that's why the halacha is that he was able to write it even on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, K'mosh Nemar L'Halan, where do we find a precedent when somebody writes a Sefer Torah, he has to write it, he has to say the words before he writes it? Because the pasuk says, V'yoma lambarach mipiv, Yakra elayis kol advar me'ela, Yirmiyah dictated to me all the words, V'ani kaysav el sefer b'diyoy. So should we say that this, that we said before, that the last 8 psukim of the Torah were not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why that the last 8 psukim have different halachas, is only following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that those last 8 psukim were not written by Moshe Rabbeinu. But if we say, like Rav Shimon, that they were written by Moshe Rabbeinu, why do they have different halacha? So isn't that a raya that this halacha that we learned, that we read the last 8 psukim of the Torah differently, is not following the opinion of Rav Shimon? It says, my field term, Rav Shimon, it can't be following the opinion of Rav Shimon, because even according to Rav Shimon, Hoyel v'ishtani ishtani, these last 8 psukim of the Torah are different than the rest of the Sefer Torah, the various pshatim that we learned, and therefore we could understand why the halachas are different as well. Says the Gemara of Amram B'Shu ben Abba Amram Gidlom Araf, Halakeich Sefer Torah min Ashuk, if somebody just buys a Sefer Torah, we know that the last halacha, one of the last halachas in the Torah is V'atam Kisvul Chemes Ashira Zois, that everybody has an obligation to write his own Sefer Torah. So the halacha is, if somebody just buys a Sefer Torah ready-made, it's k'chayt a mitzvah min ashuk. It's not the same level of a mitzvah. And over here, there's a very big machloikus, Rashi and Tosfos, what's pshat in this Gemara. Rashi says that if somebody has the option of writing a Sefer Torah, or having a Sefer Torah written on his behalf, it's a much more significant than just buying a ready-made Sefer Torah. But Tosfos suggests that if you just buy a ready-made Sefer Torah, then you're not yotze the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah. Ksiva Sefer Torah is only if you have it written, is only if you have it written on your behalf or write it yourself. Moreover, and there are more paskins like Tosfos, but many paskim are of this opinion that even though, as Tosfos and the Ramah both say, that it's preferable to have a Sefer Torah written by you or on your behalf, it's still, if you're going to have a Sefer Torah, it's still a mitzvah if that's to buy a Sefer Torah, if that's the only option. Or, as many suggest, the way to fulfill the mitzvah is by having a Sefer Torah that isn't complete. And by having the Sefer Torah that isn't complete and you putting in the words, that's how you fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah best. Having said that, I saw a number of interesting menhagim. Ritva suggests, if you want to fulfill writing a Sefer Torah, and we know as the minig is, the words that are left over at the end of Sefer Torah, the best, what are the best words to fill in? So he says, the best words to fill in are the words Torah Tziva Lana Moshe Marasha Kilos Yaakov. That's one pshat. Another halacha that I saw is that what happens very often when a Sefer Torah is being given and they give people the opportunity to write in letters in the Sefer Torah, there are different letters that are written, there are different letters that are suggested to be written in. I saw that Rabbi Yashiv, whenever he came to Achnas Sefer Torah and he was asked, and he was given the opportunity to fill in a letter, he says the best letter to fill in is actually the letter Yud. He says because the letter Yud is a letter that is, when it's missing, the inside, it's not kosher even with the Yevid, because it could be mistaken as a Samach. And therefore, the best letter to fill in is the letter Yud, like that, what you're doing you're really writing that letter. And according to that we're learning now, that's the way you Mekayim maybe mitzvahs Ksiva Sefer Torah. Moreover, this is a halacha that's an important halacha to discuss. Here we're learning about the importance of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. But the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is not just to have a Sefer Torah written by you or for you. The mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to have the Sefer Torah written, to have the Sefer Torah, every letter of this, to have, you should own the Sefer Torah. That's why many have the minig that when they give a Sefer Torah, what they're very, very careful to, what they're very careful to do is they don't donate the Sefer Torah to the shul. They just let the shul use the Sefer Torah, but they retain the ownership of the Sefer Torah. Because by retaining the ownership of the Sefer Torah, every day you have the mitzvah. Which opens up, I saw an interesting question. Is the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah only a mitzvah that applies to men? Or is it a mitzvah that applies to women as well? The nafkamina would be what we just discussed. If you have a Sefer Torah, if you have a Sefer Torah that a man wrote, so had a man want to fulfill the mitzvah, then the halacha should be, he should, as we just said, retain ownership of that Sefer Torah, so you should be able to continuously fulfill the mitzvah. But if it's a mitzvah, and that's a mitzvah, so if it's a mitzvah only for men, so that halacha would only apply to men. But if it's the mitzvah, Ksiva Sefer Torah applies to women as well, so then the woman should also be careful. Says the Gemara again, Amr Shuba Abba Amr Rav Gidla Rav Haloi Keich Sefer Torah Min Ashuk. Says the Gemara, is Chayta Mitzvah Min Ashuk. Kosvoi, if you have a Sefer Torah written, or you have it written, or you write it yourself, or have it written for you, Ma'alav Akosu Kilo Kilo Ma'asinai, it's considered like you accepted, you would Kavu Torah Bahar Sinai. Amr Sheshes, and Higia, if you fixed, Afilo Yisachas, Ma'alav Kilo Kosvoi. There's a very famous rush that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us. Even if somebody inherited a Sefer Torah from his forefathers, mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to write your own Sefer Torah. But says the Rosh, that this halacha of the importance of writing a Sefer Torah is only in the time when they learned from Sefer Torah. But in the world that we live now, that we have Sfarim that are printed, he says, by printing Sfarim and buying Sfarim, that is another way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Simen Saglam. Tanabana Isa Adam Yuria Mibashlash Dafim. When it comes to make a parchment for the Sefer Torah, you could have 3 pages. It could be anywhere from 3 pages ad bashmana dafin till 8 pages. Pachs mikan, but if it's less than that, less than 3 columns, only 2 columns, or yes al kain, more than that, la yasa. Because when you have less than 3 columns, they're going to be, the pages that are sewn together are going to be very close, and that's not nice. And when it's more than 8 columns, then they're too far apart. And when they're too far apart, it's very likely that when you're going to do Hag B'Galila, you're going to not be able to do it according along where it's sewn together, and Chas V'Shalom may come to tear the Sefer Torah. V'lo yera b'dafin, don't make more columns, nei shenira ki geris. If you have too many columns, it looks more like a letter than a sefer. Lo yamet b'dafin, don't have too few columns, because when they she'enem eshoitotos, it becomes hard to focus. Ella, how long, how wide should each page be? Kigoy l'mishpaseichem, that you can write the letter l'mishpaseichem, the word l'mishpaseichem, sholosh pomim, 3 times on each page. Nizdam lo yireya bas tesha tafim, now if you have such a big piece of cloth that you can write 9 columns on it, lo yachlik, don't divide the 9 by doing sholosh l'kan v'shesh l'kan, 3 and 6, it should be divided 4 and 5. Says the Gemara, when is this all said? The beginning or the middle of a Sefer Torah. At the end of the Sefer, you can write, even if you have only left to write 1 pasuk on that last page, you could do so. Even if you have 1 page, then you can make it, that's all you have to do. Says the Gemara, is it possible to write only 1 pasuk on the last page? Then we say it has to be ended at the bottom of the page. Says the Gemara, Ella pasuk echad b'daf achad, what I meant to say is that on the last page of the Sefer Torah, you could write a very narrow, column, and by writing that very narrow column, and you'll write 1 word per line, you'll have that you'll have only 1 pasuk on that last page, and it'll be acceptable. There's interesting shaila that was posed to Ramey Shapiro Zatzal, and he has a tshuva on it, and his shaila's tshuvas are Hameir. Says we take upon ourselves to learn Daf Yomi. So when we learn Daf Yomi, we learn every day a Daf, but in certain Daf Gemara, but in certain Masechtas, the last Daf of the Masechta could just be Amud or half an Amud or even less. Is that considered as if we learned a Daf that day? So he says that the halach is that just like we see here, that the Gemara says that the last page of a Sefer Torah, is acceptable, even if it just has 1 pasuk, but it's still considered a valid Sefer Torah. Here too, he says, if you took upon yourself to learn a daf a day, whatever amount of Gemara there is in that daf is considered that you learned a daf that day. Says the Gemara, Shir Gilyan, how does the column of the Sefer Torah have to look? Milmato tefach, from the bottom for where the words end on the page until the bottom of the page has to be a space of an empty tefach. Milmala, on the top, you have to have an empty space of sholosh espos. Bein daf ladaf, between the columns, k'maloi revach, shtei etzpas, the width of two etzpas. V'chamashim, as we discussed earlier in the shir, they didn't have printing in those days. So even the chamashim were written like a Sefer Torah. But they don't have the kedush of a Sefer Torah. There, no matter, from the bottom of the writing to the bottom of the page, should be shalos etzpas. No mala, from the top, should be shtei etzpas. Umedaf ladaf, between the pages, kamalei roich of goydel, the width of a goydel. Continues the Mishnah, bein shita l'shita, between one line of the Sefer Torah and the next line of Sefer Torah, how much empty space should you have? Kamalei shita. But it's interesting to point out that Divrei Chaim, the Shas HaTshuva is Divrei Chaim, chelik beis simen kuf laf lamed aleph, it says in those days, the way it was written nicely was to have such a big space between lines. In our world, the way writing takes place, having such a big space between lines is actually not nice. And therefore, we shouldn't write them so we have such a space between the lines. Ben teva le teva, how much space should there be between words? Kamalei ois ktana, the amount of a small letter. Ben ois lois, between letters, kamalei chutasar, the size of a hair. Continues the Mishnah, even though we learned these halachas, al yimat adam asaksav, one should be careful not to make the letters very small. Loi mnei revach shamata, not because you want to have the proper amount of space on the bottom that we just discussed. V'loi b'nei revach shabalo, not because you want to have the proper space on top of the page. V'loi b'nei revach v'shita v'shita, nor because you want to have the proper space between the lines. V'loi b'nei revach shepash l'pasha. We have in the Torah Pashas Psuchas, and we have Pashas Stumas. Pashas Psuchas is when the previous parasha ends in the middle of a line, and we have the space for nine letters, and then the next parasha begins on the next line. Parasha Stuma is where you end something at the beginning of a line, and you leave the space for nine letters, and you start the next parasha on the same line. And we should be careful when we're trying to write a Sefer Torah that we should be able to write it with all these conditions met, but again, not at the expense of not having a nice Sefer Torah. Nizdam loy teva bas chamisha ayshus, continues the Gemara, if you have a word that is comprised of five letters, loyich deshtayim b'toich hadaf, don't write two of those letters, of the five letters, on the column, v'sholosh chutz ladaf, and three letters outside of the margin. Asharos b'tay hadaf, you should always have at least three letters within the column, v'shtayim chutz ladaf, and two more outside the margin. Nizdam loytev v'shtay v'osius, if you have just a word of two letters, v'yizukene l'ben hadafim, don't put it outside of the margin, because it's such a small letter, rather, Ella chayz v'chayz b'tchila shita, started at the next line. Never write outside the margin, only if it's absolutely necessary. Hatay b'shem, if somebody wrote a Sefer Torah and he missed writing one of the shemas that you're supposed to write once, you're supposed to write the shem Hashem, says the Mishnah Goyra es Masha Kosef, you should erase the word that you wrote, the toilet, and put in the Shem Hashem. You never want the Shem Hashem not written with the greatest respect. The toilet smashigorer, and now what we erased and we have to put in that word, that should be put between the lines. And the kaisa of Hashem, the Shem that was skipped, should be written amoka magrar on the place that you scraped the previous word. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says, Af Toilas Hashem. The Shem Hashem could also be written between the lines. Rav Yitzchak Omer, Af Moichik. You don't have to scrape it. You could erase the letter, the word, the Kaisif, and you could write the Shem Hashem on top of the space which was erased. Rav Shimon Shizur Omer, Kol Hashem Kulay Toilin. If you need to write the Shem Hashem and it was missed, you could put it between the line. However, that's only if you're putting the entire Shem Hashem that way. But Mektsasay, to put just part the Shem Hashem in between lines, partially in the line and partially above or below the line, any time we may not do so. We're not allowed to write the Shem Hashem in a place where the previous word was scraped off. Not in a place where the previous Shem word was erased. In Thailand, I say, no, may we write the Shem Hashem and in a place that is between the lines. Kate said, I say, what should you do? If such a mistake was made, take away that entire urea, and start all over again. Itner Chanan Amarav, Halacha, Tylan Hashem. The halacha is you can write the Shem Hashem in between lines. Rabbi Bar of Chana Amar Rav Yitzchak Shmuel, Halacha Moichik. You could erase the word that was there before the Shem Hashem. V'kaisiv, and you could write the Shem Hashem on the place where previously you had a different word. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're paskening, ask the Gemara, why did Rav say halacha toilin? He should have just said, I pasken like Rabbi Yossi, who says that way. And Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, why did he say halacha moichik for kaisiv? He should have said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Yitzchak, who says moichik for kaisiv. Answers the Gemara, Mishum da apchilei, there were those that had the opinions reversed. It wasn't clear what Rabbi Yossi said. It wasn't clear what Rabbi Yitzchak said. And because of that, we had to say, had to express the halacha and not just attribute it to names, because by attributing to names, we're not sure who said what. Amar Rabbi Machinina, Amar Ula, Amar Rav Chanina, halacha of Shem Shazuri. The halacha is like of Shem Shazuri. And moreover, he says, wherever we have of Shem Shazuri saying an opinion, halacha k'may say that's the halacha. Ask the Gemara, ahai, what did he mean to say when he says that the halacha is like of Shem Shazuri? Ilay maha, if it's regarding what we just learned, Rav Shem Shazuri Omer, Kol Hashem Kula Toilin, that the whole Shem Hashem can be written between lines. But Mitzasai, partial Shem Hashem, Ein Toilin, may not be written between lines, says the Gemara. Ve'et Malo, Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav, Halacha Toilin, as Hashem, that the Halacha is that you can write the Shem Hashem between the lines. Rabbi Chana, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Halacha Moichik, that the Halacha is you can erase the word and put the Shem Hashem then. Ve'en Isa, if he's trying to say that, Hunami Lema, the Gemara should have said that the halacha is that this is the halacha, that we pass in this way. The Gemara shouldn't have said halacha of Shem Shazuri as if he's saying something new. He should have just said, Rabbi Chana Amar Rav Chanina, halacha of Shem Shazuri. That's how he should have expressed himself. And the Gemara, so that's obviously not what was meant when he said Allah Krishim Kazuri. Says the Gemara, why was it said regarding the Allah is that aha. The Gemara Masech Techulin, the Ayin Dalad Amud Beis, discusses the Allah of a Ben Pekua. A Ben Pekua is where a mother animal is slaughtered and you find a fetus. So since we know that Uba Yerech Imai, so the shechita of the mother is going to be, to some degree, valid for the baby. And as a machloikus, what does that mean? The Tanakhama holds that even though a ben pekua, the shechita of the mother, is effective for the child, midrabanan, you have to do a shechita on this ben pekua, on this baby. Shem Shazuri Aimer, afilu ben chamesh shanim v'chayesh besadah, even if this baby, this Ben Pekua is already 5 years old and working in the field. Shchitas Oimai Mitarasai. It doesn't have to have its own shchita. And that's what was meant when we said, Halachos of Shem Shazuri. Ask the Gemara of Etmalo, Ziri Amar Chanina Lok of Shim Zuri. The Misab, if what Rav Bar Chanina B'Shem Rav Chanina meant to say about Ben Tekuma, Ben Gani Ben Pekua, who named Malema? The Gemara should have said, Amar Ziri Amar Chanina Lok of Shim Shazuri. The Ken Amar Oven, Rechen Amar Amar Chanina Lok of Shim Shazuri. And when it should not have been mentioned without saying that Rav Bar Chanina says this as well. So that's not what was meant. Elaha. The Mishnah discusses in Masech Gittin that if somebody instructs that a get should be written for his wife, he has to be very clear in his instructions. He has to say kisvu get v'tenu l'ishti, because if he doesn't say it all that with all those words, we can't be certain that he really meant that the get should be given over that way. Says the Gemara, b'rishayna amru. I'm originally said Ayotz B'Kala, somebody who's being taken to be killed. V'amak kisu get l'ishti. He just used the word kisu get l'ishti. Hare ele yichtav v'yitnu. Then we say that he certainly meant at that time he's not playing games. He just wasn't of the clearest of mind. And that's why he didn't say tenu get l'ishti. And we could give the wife to get even though he didn't say so. Chazal Leimer. Then they said, Afim Mefarish, somebody's going out on a trip, V'yotz B'Shiyara, and he said, Kisvu Get L'Ishti, even though he didn't see Tanu, it's obvious that he really meant to give the get. Comes the Gemara and says, the Shim Shizuri says, Afim Mesukin, that it's also somebody who's very ill, and he doesn't want his wife to have issues with Yibam, or whatever, he wants a get written, so he gives this instruction, even though he just said kisfu and he didn't say tenu, we write the get. Inami, or maybe what Rav Chanina meant, was writing what we learned in Masechta Demai. Demai, a fruit that you buy from an aretz, that Chazal were concerned that he didn't take off Trumas Hamaisris. So the Tana discusses there that if somebody buys fruit, which is Demai, and now it's before Shabbos, and he forgot, and on Shabbos we know normally we're not allowed to take off Trumas and Maestras. The halacha here is that on Shabbos, the halacha is we could ask the seller, even though he's an Amoritz, did you take Trumas and Maestras? And if he says he did, we could be lenient. And there are two reasons why. One reason is because Roiv Amoratzim are take off Maestras, and therefore, but the ever we could be lenient if he said he took it off. Another reason is they don't lie on Shabbos. But after Shabbos, they revert back to the halacha of Demai. Says the Gemara, not only on Shabbos is this, but even if you have a case, Trumas Maaser Shel Demai, that we know when you have Truma, 10% of the Truma, the Maaserishin goes to the Levi, and 10% of that has to be given to a kohen. And if it's an Amoritz, that's called Trumas Maaser Shel Demai. Shechazal Mekoyma, if that got mixed up with all the other fruit, and we don't know what the status is, the halacha is that we can ask him and rely on what he says. So Shim Shizuri says, Apachal Shaloi, this approach that we can ask the seller who's Amoritz, what is the status? Is even acceptable during the week? And oichloy apiv. And Rav Chanina is coming to say that we're following the opinion of Shim Shizuri. Says the Gemara, Vet Malah, regarding these halachas, it was said, Amar B'yach halach of Shim Shizuri b'masukin, that a person who's very ill and says, kiss for get lishdi, it's good enough. With truth, ma'aseh shel demai. V'isab, if Rav Chanina meant to say, was that, he should have said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Alok Rav Shim Shizuri. He should have said, and similarly, he should have said, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Alok Rav Shim Shizuri. And he shouldn't have said what the Alok Rav Shim Shizuri without attributing to the other opinions that say the Alok Rav Shim Shizuri. Ella, aha. Rabbi Yochanan, Keeper, Amar Rabbi Shim Shizuri, Pula Mitzri. It's a type of a bean that was planted to eat. And Shazar Lazara, if it was planted as a seed, so then we follow the time when it was taking root. Mitzasa Hishrus Lufnei Rosh Hashanah, and some of this bean crap took root before Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah, so after Rosh Hashanah. The halacha is because when we plant it for eating, we go according to the year that it's collected. When we plant it for seed, we go according to the year when it takes root. So now, Miktsasa Hishu Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, Miktsasa Hishu and Miktsasa L'Ach Rosh Hashanah, Ein Tam Mezel Zeh, we're not allowed to take Truma. Normally when we have a whole pile, we could take Truma from that one basket from another basket. Here, the halacha would be, Ein Tam Mezel Zeh, Lefish Ein Tam Asrim, not from last year and this year, not from this year and this year. What should you do? You take the beans that took root before Rosh Hashanah with the beans that took root after Rosh Hashanah, and you mix them up well, and we assume that you're taking everything proportionally. Everything you will do, all the truma and mice you'll do will be taken off proportionally. Says the Gemara, Ha'et Malah, and that's what Rav Shimon Shazuri said. Says the Gemara, but if that's what we're saying when we say with Allah Rav Shimon Shazuri, Amar Rav Shimon Nachmani Rav Yochanan Allah Rav Shimon Shazuri, Vim Isa, if that's what was meant, when Rav Chanina said we pass like Shemesh Zuri, who nami lema, he should have said, Amr of Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amr of Yochel Lakr Shemesh Zuri. The Ked Amr of Avon Bachinan, Amr of Amr of Chanina Lakr Shemesh Zuri. And he shouldn't have brought what Rav Yochanan said without quoting what Rav Chanina said. So that can't be what he meant when he said Lakr Shemesh Zuri.